Greetings, authors, and welcome back to the Adventures of an Amateur Author podcast, wherein I, your host, Peter James, share with you my tales and stories in the world of a fledgling novelist. As always, I'm going to discuss my week of writing and chronicle things that are related media that were interesting or of note or taught me something interesting this week. So come along with me, let's learn, let's share. If you have any stories to share, right here at the top, let me know if you want to share stories or interesting information with me or links. You can always tweet them to me. You can find me at Knight Rider Books. That's capital NITEWRITERBOOKS. I'm on Twitter all the time, in multiple accounts, and so I'm very much a Twitter fiend, so I'd love to hear from you, whatever media you care to share with. Alright, so let's start things off this week on the right foot, and I'll tell you about what my week has been like writing. I can't really talk about this without being able to explain it, but something interesting happened this week. Not like a particular, funny story anecdote, but something that sort of changed my outlook on writing almost. So basically, what happened? I'll give a little backstory here. I have been working on my current novel, Dragon by Night, for about a year and a half. When I say working on, I mean I put it down for like 6 months at a time, write one chapter, come back to it 6 months later, write another chapter, that kind of thing. It's just taken, I just got, it's so busy and hectic trying to write when, I had so much going on in my life that I, for some reason it didn't happen. More recently, life has kind of quieted down. It's just me, and I live by myself a lot, so I have a lot of alone time and a lot of time to work, time to concentrate, things that I can do, time where I have things to do, and what sort of happened this week is I kind of got a fire lit up under me to write, to get it done, basically. So I went from taking about a year and a half to get roughly seven or so chapters, maybe eight, seven chapters written. I write four chapters in like 2 months and then come back to it 6 months later, that kind of thing. And I just produced three chapters in the last week. Something dramatically changed. In the last 7 days, I put out three chapters. So it's been a wild ride, kind of interesting. Chapters 8, 9, 10. 8, 9, and 10 were done this week. And let's see. Working, I have the numbers for chapter 9 and chapter 10. I don't remember my numbers for chapter 8. Working for about 3.5 hours, I produced 3,500 words for chapter 9. And chapter 10 took about 3 hours of work, and I had about 3,400 words there. So about 100 words an hour. Not too terrible for a starting writer, especially for a pace of get it out and you can edit it later kind of thing. It's been really, really nice to be able to get multiple chapters done this week, and that's exactly the pace I want to keep. I think three is a great number per week. If I do three a week, I'll have this novel done within a month or a month and a half at tops. Not long at all. So it's just I'm fully aware not every book will get written in a month and a half, and I'm fully aware it's much longer than an hour in a month and a half, than that month and a half to actually write it for it to get edited, published, and so forth. But I'm really liking that. It's really, really cool. In the plot in Dragon by Night, I'm sort of hitting the turning point. I spent the first 7 or 8 chapters building up things, and now I'm starting to pay them off. The important plot points are coming along, and they're picking up speed. Hitting the readers with the dramatic reveals that I've been holding back for a little while. Getting to see some important characters come out and actually show who they are to us. Things like that. As well as giving the most of the cast their time in the limelight to sort of show us who they are. It's been really, really fun to work on it. Okay, so talking about last week, I talked about scene and sequel, my character sheets, my chapter breakdown, and so forth. Once again, I really feel like I benefit a lot from having all the pieces already and just, knowing that I want to get from point A to point B to point C all the way to K and L and M and then all the way to Z. Knowing exactly what kind of progression I want is very, very helpful. And I think my next novel will benefit from this. Even if I don't have all the pieces right away, I'll benefit a lot from this information here. I also think that if it had not been for my character pages, I think it would have gotten stuck a couple times. Because there's just times where I'm like, okay, I'm introducing a character. They're an important character. People need to remember who they are. We've had glimpses of them, but we haven't really met them yet. So it's important for us to meet them, make a good impression, make a solid impression, so the reader gets a good picture in their mind whenever they hear about this person. So, you know, I turn to these character forms that I have. So let me tell you what they are. Basically, since I'm writing a superhero novel, I have a bit different than most other novels would have. For my character sheets, I have multiple criteria to fill out for every character. And there's informational stuff, there's just plain, you know, interesting stuff that only I'll ever know, that kind of thing. So firstly, I always record the character's name, whatever they go by, really. You know, excuse me, if they have a code name, you know, a name for the team, you know, like, Lance is the main character and his code name is Dragon, you know, when they keep their identities secret. You know, then that's what's gonna go, you know, his name and then his alias Dragon. Their gender, I don't usually include age because I don't find age to be relevant, but definitely gender, because, I mean, it keeps things solid, rather writing things down. The more you write down, the less you're tempted to fiddle. It's better just to have it written down and know who it is going in. Also, I have their powers, whatever kind of power sets that they have, also helps to lay it in a specific way so that it gives me a structure form if I want to do something with their powers and say, okay, what kind of powers do they have? Well, they're sort of this and they're sort of this. They're not really that this, or they don't really work that way, you know. Again, more structure is better for me. Also, personal things that I kind of picked up from role-playing character forms, either it was someone else's or just something that I thought to include in ours on a random thought that wound up being really, really helpful are these three things. Motivation. So I always have a driving force. What is the character's reason for living? What are they really getting up out of the bed every morning for? And then their personal demons. So what are they facing? What are their inner turmoils, their problems? What are they really dealing with on a day-to-day basis? You know, personal demons can be like things for Lance. He's dealing with stuff like his emotions flying off the handle and not knowing what's causing it. His personal demons can be stuff like his heart condition is threatening his life constantly. You know, causing heart attacks at great amounts of stress, things like that. And also chronicle sort of like just an anything goes kind of section called other, just in information that'll be helpful for the character, to show who the character is. So stuff that may not come out in the novel, it may influence it somehow, you know, just stuff that I definitely want recorded that, I don't think fits anywhere else. And there's a lot of stuff that fits in there. Lastly, I have taken advice from Jim Butcher on his blog, jimbutcher.livejournal.com, and added these two things to my character sheets: tags and traits. Tags are physical descriptors of what the character looks like, so that when you are describing them for the first time, you use a bunch of them. I just wrote this one up for this character because I realized I didn't have it. And so I wrote, what did I write? I wrote a bunch. I wanted to make, and when I was introducing my main villain for the series, for at least this novel anyway, introducing the main villain, I made sure to use all of her tags, and her tags kind of just identify who they are. For Donnie's tags, his are kind of his long, wheat colored hair, his dark coat, his long dark coat, his affinity for dark clothing, you know, these kinds of things. And next are traits. Traits are things that more identify with what a character is, what their role is. So Dragon's traits are kind of like leader, hero, orphan, brother, twin, pyrokineticist, things like that. I could add flying brick there, but really that's a TV tropes term, and that is any character who has, you know, the quote-unquote standard set of powers. Flight, strength, and that's A and B, and choice C element, whatever you care for it to be. So, Superman, flight, strength, and C is everything else. You know, the freeze breath, the heat vision, the super hearing, all that stuff. Flying brick. So stuff like that will go in your traits. So those things help you to kind of keep track of who they are, like what their role is, what they really do. Like Dragon's trait as leader, leader of the Titans, helps me to remember that, you know, that's important to him. It's important that he's the leader for his friends, that he is leading his team. He founded the team. He wants to guide the team. He feels his legacy after he's gone that he led the Titans, that he formed the Titans and in their infancy led them. And those are the things that I use for character sheets. Those are the things that are on all my character sheets. So what I've got from that is a good foundation for for when I'm needing to write someone in or remind someone who someone is. It's a third person novel, so sometimes you haven't seen a person in a bit, and I want to make sure that the readers remember them. It should be no effort whatsoever to remember, oh yeah, that's who this person is. So it's a neat psychological trick taught by Jim Butcher, which was taught to him through other means, that helps to tie in who that character is with your reader. Your reader's going to remember that trait, that tag, that who that person is from that previous time they've seen him, and go, oh yeah, long dark hair, that's who that character is. Or, oh, bright pink eyes, yeah, I know who that is. Okay, great. Long white hair and striking pale beauty, yeah, that's good. Okay, I definitely remember this person. It's kind of like that. And right now, I would say about halfway through Dragon by Night. Like I said, I just hit the turning point where the action is really picking up, and we're gonna start getting speed, and we're gonna slam straight into the ending at 60 miles per hour, that kind of thing. All the pieces have been set, and this is the time where you start knocking the dominoes down. Again, a term, an analogy from Jim Butcher. So I'm very excited that I've managed to produce 3 chapters this week. None of that credit, I take none of the credit for that, though. I have no idea. I do have an idea. I don't like to tell people what to believe, but I definitely want to bear a strong testimony of what I believe through these files and things. And I very seriously believe, I won't make this terribly long if you're not spiritual or religious or anything, but I truly believe that I have Heavenly Father's blessing with this book. Somehow, some way, it's not me, I don't feel, because so much is working out that I'm putting so relatively little effort in that it's just like butter, you know, it's spreading like butter, and it's so effortless. And, you know, obviously, intellectually, I realize, you know, I did some pre-work to help aid with that, you know, and I realized that, yeah, I have all the pieces, and that helps a lot. But I really think that if it were just me, that I wouldn't be producing this much, this many words this fast if it were just me working on my own. I definitely feel like this is, that I've been helped that way, that I've been blessed that way. But enough about that. If you're not into that kind of stuff, I don't want to take up too much of your time with this stuff. You know, obviously, if you're interested in hearing, you know, stuff like that, you know, we can talk about that, but really, I want this to be as widely available and interesting a show as possible. So that's what I believe. That's what I think is going on. So, I'm really excited now that things are picking up, and I'm, you know, you kind of get the end goal in sight at this point in the novel. You kind of see where it's going, and you're excited to get there. You can't wait. So I'm really, really happy that we're this close, and I'm looking forward to really getting to the ending and writing the ending, because it's like, you know, that's going to be really satisfying. It's going to be really satisfying is saying, I finished it. I did it. You know, it's my first novel that I ever wrote front to back and front to finish, and I kept with it, and I didn't stop, and I got through the great middle, and I got the dominoes going, and now it's rolling truck until the end. It's a good feeling having, you know, progress that I'm seeing now, you know, a chapter every couple of days kind of thing. But I can't imagine how much greater it'll feel knowing that it's completely finished, like going, oh, okay, it's done. So in a month and a half or 2 months or so, or however long it takes, we'll talk again about that, about how that feels for that to be finished completely. Okay. I want to turn now to relevant media and kind of talk about an interesting book that I read this week. And when I say interesting, I don't necessarily mean that it was, oh, it was such a great book, and I was drawn in by everything, and the characters were great, and the surroundings were great, and everything that happened was fantastic, and it was all just a page turning thriller. No, I mean interesting in that I read it. I didn't necessarily enjoy it that much. I tried to get through it as quickly as possible, and I felt that it taught me a little bit. So I want to talk about it. First of all, let me preface this by saying I respect other authors' works. In that, you know, it may not be what I would have done or would have liked to see, but that doesn't make it wrong. That's just how they chose to write it. That being said, I think there are a lot of things that show that someone is a novice or not putting very much effort into their writing, which kind of get on my nerves. I'll be honest, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it here. It's a bit of a pet peeve to see someone write something terrible, and even a little more so for it to be so popular. I'm like, how can you enjoy this dribble? But and again, you know, it's hard to justify those two things. You know, you say you respect people and you're calling it dribble. Well, sure, I respect the people, but and their, you know, the fact that they put, you know, their work, but the end product, I don't think it's very good. Let's talk about it. I'm going to tell you what the novel it is. First of all, I got it for free on Google Play Store. So I just wanted to check it out and see. I figured, you know, free book couldn't hurt. Even if it's free, even if it's the book I hate most in the world, it's free. And it wasn't. You know, there have obviously been much, much worse ones. But I had my issues with this book. Even being an amateur such as I can see problems that this author had. The book is called Taken. And it's written by an author named Morgan Rice. Taken is a story about a white girl. I'm guessing white. It seems white. Put it that way. I don't sense much ethnic diversity in this novel. Taken is a story about Caitlin, who has a younger brother, Sam, who doesn't get along with her mother. Her mother is a bit of a drunk. And she is moved again to a brand new city where she's in the next to last year of high school, and there's no one that she knows. It's a big city, a big school. Everything's intimidating, and there's a whole lot of intimidating things like the security, you know, having to walk through metal detectors, those kind of things. And it's a scary, scary city. It's New York City, and it's a big, 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 big school. It's her first day at school, and it's really, really intimidating. And you get that's interesting. And in her first day, she meets this boy named Jonah. Sorry. She meets this boy named Jonah, and he's nice to her. You know, he's not popular with other people, but he's nice to her. And so they bond, and she starts to get a crush on him. And, she finds out some interesting things about him, like the instrument he plays and things like that. The point where I started getting disconnected from this novel was in the chapter, one of the early chapters, where the author... Okay. Problem number one with this scene. This scene is a fight wherein Caitlin witnesses someone being beaten up by random bullies. Okay. Problem number one. When you have antagonism provided by an antagonist, i.e. these bullies... it is not fun for a reader to read and not know what their motivation is. If all I see is that you wrote a scene where the bullies are beating up somebody for no good reason, you know, then I'm just going to check out. Mentally, I have gone, okay, you put zero effort into this scene. I'm going to put zero effort into reading it. Problem number two. When she does investigate, you know, points to her for, you know, not being a passive protagonist. I don't think it's a very great... It's not going to turn out to be... I don't think it's going to be a very enjoyable book if you have a passive protagonist. But issue number two, she breaks up the fight, and it's Jonah being beaten up. Coincidence much? I mean, you could at least have had a pretense where she's coming to meet him or something, but just random coincidences, while interesting, you're already on shaky ground with this ill-defined antagonist stuff that you don't need to be throwing random coincidences everywhere. Readers don't like that. I mean, I don't claim to speak for everyone in the world, but I don't like that. And I don't think other readers will either. obviously Morgan Rice being number one best-selling New York Times author. My disagree, you know, that would seem to prove me wrong a little bit, but I do not think that is sound writing. Okay, third issue. Once she has kind of gotten a hold of the scene, she understands what's going on and she's going to stop it. The bullies threaten her, which I guess, you know, points for making your antagonist unlikable, but again, you know, without motivation, it just seems random. So again, that's kind of back to the same thing as number one, but that wasn't the point I was trying to make. The point with number three is once she decides to confront them and gets scared and they threaten to beat her up or whatever they do, and they chase her away, just randomly, she gets this random surge of strength that the author went to great lengths to explain that she didn't understand where it was coming from or what was happening, but it was very clear that no effort had been made to brace us for this. It was sudden, it was not appreciated, and it was, again, a mental speed bump that made me check out. I'm going, okay, it's cool to give your main character powers. You know, we kind of understand that main characters will have abilities that will be pivotal to the story. That's what makes them protagonists. But at the same time, you can't just throw us into that situation with no prior briefing. You know, you can't use cliched stuff like the prophecy says you're going to be special and have the character laugh it off and then they're special or something. Can't do that either. But you cannot, you should not, I should say, cannot, because obviously you can. You should not put your protagonist in a situation where they are showing us, where things are just kind of happening randomly. And when you have something happening randomly and something else happening randomly in response to that happening randomly, all you have is a bunch of gibberish that I don't enjoy reading. I'll be honest. So she beats up the bullies. Little effort. We find out later why. But what happens, she... This was actually a decent part. Her journal gets left behind, and Jonah finds her at school the next day, and kind of, I should mention, she wrote it so that he didn't kind of catch all this, but I don't understand how getting beaten up, getting a black eye and some bruises on his face, as she described it, how that would cause a blackout, or even a loss of consciousness, you know, that like a loss of blood or something, but that's how she decided to write it, and I don't think she understands the human body very well. So, nitpicking done. At least for this part. Next, you know, he kind of says he thinks he saw her, and you know, he found her journal, and someone beat the Millies up, and she's denying it all because she doesn't even know what happened. She doesn't want to talk about it with anyone, and she doesn't want to explain to him that she's a freak. Which is probably the first time I think that we actually were able to experience a sequel with that protagonist and have it mean something in terms of explaining things to us, why a character feels the way they feel or do what they do. At the very worst, you as an author, I believe that you should be able to have the reader understand your character's motivations, even if they don't necessarily agree with the choices your character made. They can think that the decision is terrible, but as long as they understand how your character reached that conclusion, it's a warm viewpoint. They understand the character. They empathize. They go, oh, in that situation, I could have done the very same thing. Who knows? That kind of thing. You know, these cold viewpoints that we got through most of this novel, they don't suit that, and they make it less fun to read. You know, at the end of the day, I think the novel is supposed to be fun to read, if nothing else. Of course, you could make art that's supposed to be thought-provoking and not fun, but engaging, and so it's, you know, so it pulls you in and makes you really think, and it hits you with hard questions, sure. But I also think you should be telling a story, and stories at their heart keep their interest because they're, you know, in some way interesting. They're some way fun or intriguing. Fun is probably the best way, I think, to do that. But in any case, it did not make for a very interesting main character when the viewpoint was cold and we weren't in on most of her decision making. So that wasn't very fun. The next, or interesting, it just made her seem kind of random and wishy-washy. The next thing I had problems with overall, I had problems with the pacing of this book. The long buildup was, you know, buildups are okay. A long buildup is fine, but the long buildup when you add to it the cold point of view, it just made for it seems like, okay, if you've never heard the term Mary Stew, it's basically a fan fiction trope term that comes from writing a character who has few, if any, flaws, is well loved by multiple main characters, like romantically or whatever, solves all their problems with little effort, doesn't experience any real emotional growth, is basically just there for author's wish fulfillment. And Caitlin felt very much like a Mary Stew. Again, I'm just giving my opinion here. I don't expect you to necessarily even agree. I feel like whatever experience you had, if you read this book, then you can have and not have to worry about me telling you how to think or what to think. But I think that this novel could have been better. Also, it was a short novel, about 130 pages. I don't understand how even teen fiction can be that short. That's like a comic book. That's like a graphic novel. That's very, very short. It had 14 chapters. I am almost at 14 chapters. If I were to boil my story down to one tiny plot and have no subplots, that wouldn't be very interesting. I mean, I'm just saying. I don't think my readers would be interested in it. Part of the reason I think the story structure I have works is because there's a main plot, there's subplots, there's multiple characters for people to like, there's a lot going on that people can get interested in. And, you know, you can draw them slowly and over time to these other characters. You know, your protagonist can sort of draw them into side characters, or your side characters could draw them into liking your protagonist. In any case, I definitely feel like having extra plots, subplots, will work. But there was only one plot in Taken. And I don't want to spoil the whole thing just in case you're interested in reading it. But some of the problems I had are she's building a world of vampires wherein she hasn't really explained a whole lot about how what vampires work. There's a section where she's been, like, with Caitlin, like, the whole time, and then she cuts to this random cop for, like, half a chapter, and then she cuts to this random vampire for the other half of the chapter, and, again, you know, you just drop us into a random thing. Okay, it's not that it's a sudden shift in viewpoint. That's fine. That happens all the time. We get that. That's not a big speed bump. We can get over that really quickly. The problem is when you start throwing stuff that wasn't specifically meant to slowly turn us on and bring us in through this character. You know, this vampire character who is an antagonist, he's an evil vampire, and he has mind powers. That's exactly how she wrote it. He has mind powers. Apparently there's this mental subversion he can do on mortals, which prevents them from being able to notice him in any real way. So he's effectively invisible, which, okay, interesting idea. But interesting idea I don't think makes a good novel. As a side note here, I thought Twilight had good ideas for vampire lore, but I think it implemented them terribly. I think if you're going to write rules for your universe, you need to stick to them as much as possible. And you can't wrap yourself in a corner and then cheat by changing the rules in the universe. I don't like that. I don't think you should do it. But to end my side rant here, this vampire antagonist, he has this mental whammy he can do to mortals to make him basically ignore him, so he's effectively invisible to mortals, and it wasn't really very well explained. I'm pretty sure she just used the phrase mental power or mental whatever, and that was it. Like, that's supposed to cover it. Like, you can show us, fine, but don't word it like that. Have a name for it or something. I mean, come on. I'm trying to enjoy this. I kept reading because I'm hoping there's something good in it. I want to see the end. I want to know how this novel ends because I want to know if I should keep reading the rest or not. And I've decided I won't read the rest of that series. But, you know, at least I gave it a fair shot. You know, read the whole thing. I didn't put it down mid-book. Other than that, I can't nitpick too much. I had one last issue. You know, she gets drawn into the vampire world, and she gets into trouble with them, and she's having to fight her way out and stuff with the help of a guy named Caleb, who is another vampire, but he's a good vampire. He's a protagonist, and you know, there's clues that he's putting like a mental whammy on her unknowingly, like a mental change that makes her drawn to him and attracted to him, but it's not very well explained. And it was too okay. If you're gonna do something like that, you need to be vague when the character's actually experiencing it, so when they come out of it, they go, "Oh, that was weird. I think there's something to that." Instead of us just going, instead of basically just presenting us two realities and making us try and pick. Because, again, you're trying to set us up for something. Okay. When you do stuff like that, when you show us a character's viewpoint and you say something is happening to them, something interesting is happening to them, but you're playing it like it's normal, like the character did it, and then only a couple chapters later, and this is after a couple chapters, mind you, then after a couple chapters, do you say, "Oh, well, it was just a mental whammy thing that he put on her, that, you know, unknowingly he puts out this wave of mental energy that, you know, kind of provokes this reaction?" That's cheap. I mean, I'll pull no punches there. That is cheap. That is just the cheapest writing you can get. And if you want cheap writing, go on fanfiction.net. Don't pay for that junk. All right, end rant. In the end, it wasn't a terrible novel. It was mediocre. But I kind of expected more from such a cool premise, from such an interesting first couple chapters. You know, you kind of had me with a sympathetic opening thing, but you got to keep that kind of thing up if you're playing that angle. If you're playing, you know, underdog and very much playing up the inherent weaknesses of your main character, you probably shouldn't abandon those five chapters in. I'm just saying. Okay, let me close that out by saying that, you know, obviously, whatever Morgan Rice is doing, it's working for her because she's number one Times bestselling, New York Times bestselling author. I just don't think it makes for very good reading. So I would not recommend it, like, at all. I would definitely urge people to stay away from it. You know, even, you know, I have had problems with books in general, but the books I've enjoyed most are stuff like Brent Weeks' Night Angel trilogy. Absolutely love those. Jim Butcher's Dresden Files and Codex Alera. Love those. Really anything Jim Butcher's ever written, I loved. I did not really enjoy J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series that much, but the good thing about Harry Potter is that at least it follows its own rules. You know, all the magical rules were set up early and then followed for the rest of the series. Until it came to the prophecy, which I thought was kind of weird and definitely felt made up on the spot. But that's a talk for another day. I wanted to mention all of this because it kind of helped me to learn what I did not want to do with my novel and, you know, how I wanted to handle certain situations if they arose. I do feel like I've gotten some benefit from that. So at the very least, if Morgan Rice did nothing else for me, she kind of helped me see what I want to be. So if nothing else, good on you for that, and thank you. I appreciate that. Obviously, I don't think she's going to listen to this ever, but it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I'm just a strange old internet guy talking about everything to his microphone and expecting people to listen to it. Alrighty. So what else? What else can I talk about? You know, not a whole lot. This week I've been writing. I've been playing video games. For those of you who don't know, I not only write and perform and edit this podcast. I do another podcast called Inside Neverwinter, covering all sorts of depth for my favorite MMO, Neverwinter, Dungeons and Dragons Neverwinter, and it's a really great game. I think you should check it out if you're interested in MMORPGs at all, especially action oriented ones where it's where you don't tab target, you don't have a whole hotbar full of abilities. You have, you know, and more action-y style controls, reachable controls, only like 10 or so abilities to manage at one time kind of thing, where you can set up a build and say, okay, I'm going into this mode of play, and I'll use this kind of abilities, and I'll do this kind of thing, and I'll be focused on that. I think it's cool. I think it helps you narrow your focus specifically. That really helps me. But I also do that. I also make Let's Plays on my YouTube channel, DJ Takuya. I do lots of Neverwinter content. Right now I'm doing Let's Play series of Foundries. I'm working on the Nether Scroll by @Waldo89, and you can check that out on my YouTube channel. That's user DJ Takuya, all one word, DJ TAKUYA. And if you want to check out Inside Neverwinter Podcast, you can find it on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, under the name Inside Neverwinter Podcast, or searching my name DJ Takuya or Night Rider. Several handles that I go by, I think it helps to categorize what I'm doing. Again, at the end of the show here, if you want to tweet at me, you can find me at Night Rider Books. I'm on Twitter literally all the time, so hit me up anytime you feel like. The intro and outro music for the show is Backdrop Story by composer I Am Brahms, and it's provided by freesoundtrackmusic.com. Check that out if you're interested for more great music that is totally royalty-free. That is going to do it for me this week. Thank you very much for joining me and for listening in. I hope you have a great week this week, and I hope to see you and talk about our adventures next week. Safe travels, authors.